I'm going to urge you to make plans to come out again this evening, not simply because Gibby's going to be speaking or because we're going to be starting a series that she'll get into later, but because we're going to have a piano duet, which I have already heard, I think, performed, and it was a real blessing, and I think that you'd enjoy coming out and listening to Gail and Mrs. Robin Snyder play the duet this evening. So make plans to come tonight, even if you don't normally come on Sunday nights, and we'll see you then.
Good morning. There, that's what we need. I wish I could, every time we woke our girls up and I said good morning, I'd get that response from them. Usually I get something thrown at me. More often than not, Elizabeth gets something thrown at her. I think they got it from their dad. I'd like to think that, and thank the, Sandra and Kenny Center for putting together my rough notes on this outline for the parents in the Christian home. They did a super job, and I'd like to thank them for doing that. And also Carrie for helping me in the work that we had tonight. Now, in regards to tonight, we'll be having a videotape, which is put on by Mr. Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon, who wrote the book The Seduction of Christianity. They have a 5-part videotape. Each tape lasts 30 minutes. And we'll be considering some of the material they presented in that book. In particular, the role of psychology in the local church. I think you'll find it quite revealing. And I think you'll find it profitable as well. But only if you read, the chapter 13, which, I've had copied off. So if you come tonight and you don't read chapter 13 in that book, which I have copied off for you, you're going to be a little confused about what's going on. So if you're going to plan on coming back tonight, please read that, if you will. And after the meeting, Gene Wade will be standing there at the back so you can get a copy of that. If you have your Bibles, let's turn this morning to Proverbs chapter 22 and before we read that, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee this morning that in the scriptures we find every good thing for our spiritual growth. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we can open thy word and we can find truth concerning your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, about how to get to heaven by simply trusting in his death on the cross for us. We thank thee, Father, that we can even find truth concerning raising our children and grandchildren from thy word. For this we thank thee. And this morning we pray, Lord, that you would give us special insight into what you would have us to know concerning training those children of ours. So, Father, we pray that you would bless us this morning, and we would thank thee especially this morning, Lord, for the testimony of our dear departed sister, Frances Jones. What a blessing she was to us. And, Father, we would not forget her, her work for thee, her dedication to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you would bless her small family, those that remain, that they would be touched by the Son of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22, let's look at verse 6. As most of you are aware, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and he wrote it mainly to young people, young adults, young teenagers, and so forth. He wrote it to his own children. And he says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, Colossians chapter 3. Turn back. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 20. The Apostle Paul again writing, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And our final reading from Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 9, the writer of Hebrews, dealing with the Lord's training of his own children. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You know, being a parent, especially a Christian parent, in the age in which we live, can be a very frightening prospect. Our young people they've got to deal with drugs, with alcohol. They have to deal with premarital sex. They have to deal with the television, which makes all of these things look fun and acceptable to them. And they have to deal with much contemporary music, which presents values that are totally opposed to the Christian ethic. And all of these things that our young people are exposed to are brought to bear on very young, frail shoulders, in which I think simply being a kid is tough enough already. And we're talking about kids who are going from childhood to adulthood, and they're undergoing this tumultuous change in a world that has absolutely no love for them. And this can be very frightening to parents. It frightens me on occasion. How do moms and dads deal with these problems? How can parents help their children grow up and to mature in such a society that we live in? Well, for the Christian parent, we must go to that book which claims to have authority in our lives. And we must go to that person who loves our own children even more than we do. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuked his disciples for preventing parents and their children from coming to him. Mark chapter 10 states, in that particular passage, it says, he was much displeased. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You see, the Lord of heaven has a very special love for our children. In Mark chapter 9, the Lord Jesus Christ took a child into his arms and he said, "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." Parents, take heart in the fact that Jesus Christ loves your children even more than you do. And in him, that is in Christ, we find the wisdom and the discernment necessary to raise our children. And that brings us to a very important truth found in Scripture. And I'll state that truth like this. In the family, both the Christian family and the non-Christian family, God has appointed parental rule as the symbol of his own authority. Parental rule of our children in the home is a symbol of, and it is representative of, God's own dealings with his own children, that is, individual Christians. Now, this truth provides the spiritual basis on which Christian moms and dads deal with their children in the home. Now, verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 12 here, which we just read, gives us a picture of that relationship. And in this chapter, the writer is discussing the great doctrine of how God trains and helps Christians to grow in their faith. And in discussing this, the writer uses this parent-child relationship to illustrate how God trains his own children. Note verse 9 again. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, God, and live?" The writer states that God has raised up parents to train and correct their children, and in return, the children respect and honor the parents. Notice it says, "And we gave them reverence." This is the way that God deals with Christians, on a father-child relationship. And in stating that truth, the writer presents us with another basic truth on which he based what he just said. And the truth is that God has given the task of the training of children to their parents. And this training is to minister to the entire soul of the child, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. And isn't that the way God ministers to our soul as adults? Certainly it is. Now, moms and dads, God wants you to know three things. First of all, it is the parents' responsibility to train their child for God. Secondly of all, parents deal with and train the entire soul of their child, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. And the third one is this. Moms and dads, if you want to be the kind of parent that God wants you to be, then you must remember that you are God's minister doing God's work in relation to your children. God has appointed you and me to train our children in the way that they should go. And it is a covenant relationship. You do your part, under God's direction and under God's power, and he will surely do his. And this is what Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 teaches. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Well, that's our part of the covenant, isn't it? Training our children. That's the parents' part. And like many of God's covenants, this one is a conditional covenant. Some of God's covenants are unconditional. For instance, the covenant that God made with Abraham was an unconditional covenant. Now, if you read in Genesis chapter 12, you will discover 8 things that God would do through Abraham and his children. For Abraham's part, he had to do nothing. Not a thing. It was all of God. It was an unconditional covenant. However, God's covenant to parents and children is conditional. Proverbs 22:6 says again, train up a child in the way he should go. That's our part. Now, there are 2 things here. The Bible says train a child in the way he should go. First of all, and this is important, not just any training will do. It must be training in, quote, the way he should go. In other words, the training must be scripturally correct. It must be done God's way, and it must be done for God's purpose. And we're going to discuss God's ways of training in a little more detail later. But what we have to ask is, what is God's goal for your child? Well, verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 12 gives us the answer. And by the way, it's the same purpose for God's own children, Christians. Notice verse 11. Now, no chastening or training for the present seemeth to be joyous, but it seems to be grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised thereby. What is the purpose or the goal of parental training? It's there in verse 11. To produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That is the purpose of parental training. To produce in your child's life the fruit of righteous living. To produce in your child the fruit of a life that is in fellowship with God. A child that will walk with God. And that, moms and dads, is one of the highest callings there is. Are you ready for it? Are you prepared? Parents, understand this. How can you train your children in the way that they should go when you are not sure of it yourself? Are you the kind of example to your children that God wants you to be? Indeed, can you train your children? Can you take the Bible and instruct them in its principles, in its teachings, and in its precepts? Can you do that? Remember that you are God's minister to your children. And for goodness sake, study your Bible. How can you train them without? How can you possibly fulfill what God wants you to do as a parent if you don't? Well, alright, that's the first thing in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And it must be God's way, and it must be with God's purpose or goal in mind. Now, the second thing with this verse is that parents train children. Children. Now, the word child, I think, in Proverbs 22:6 is a key word. The Bible teaches us that all men have a sin nature. We all have the capacity to sin. We do sin. And so do our children. In case y'all haven't noticed. Children, as they approach adulthood, especially have a will and a mind of their own. You see, God created men, like the angels, as free moral agents. We can choose God and His way, or we can go our own way. God did not create robots. He created men and women who could choose to reject Him or who could choose to love Him. God does not force love from His creation. He provokes love from His creation with His very character and with His very essence. But He never forces it. At any rate, children can submit to parental training. They can submit to parental training or they can reject it. Just as the last part of verse 11 says in Hebrews 12 here, training will only produce the desired fruit, and what is that? The fruit of righteous living. But training will only produce the desired fruit only to those who are exercised thereby. Now this applies to adult Christians, and it applies to their children as well. Now kids, I'm speaking to you now, training must be received to produce fruit. Do you understand that? Training from your parents must be received to produce the fruit that God wants to see in your life. Rebel against parental training and you are violating God's covenant between you, your parents, and God. And kids, I want you to know that. The parental covenant is a conditional covenant. Moms and dads, on your part, you must train your children God's way and with God's purpose. Kids, you must receive that training and accept that training so that you can be what God wants you to be in your life. Now, you remember that we mentioned from Proverbs 22 that we are to train our children, quote, in the way they should go. Now that, of course, is God's way, and we would now like to examine that very unique, special way that God trains children a little closer. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, we would do well to remember that you and I are God's minister to our children. And we are doing God's work when we train our children. As we've already seen, I think God loves our children and He wants them to be trained for Himself. I fully believe that. He is our covenant God. And we should depend on God for help and strength in training our children. You see, it is God who, through parents, through you, who will rule your home. We must, as parents, yield ourselves to Him. Now, concerning bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we need to understand something, and it's this. To not rule and restrain our children, but to give them their own way, is to honor them more than God. Now, we must remember that not to rule and restrain our children means that both parent and child are dishonoring God by not doing His will. And I would plead with parents who have been guilty of consulting the will of their children more than the honor of God. I would plead with them to look at the Old Testament picture that we have in 1 Samuel of Eli and his home. And there, if you've ever read that passage, you see that they are under God's judgment. And there in 1 Samuel, you can read God's words concerning these matters. And there in chapter 3, it says, and here is God speaking to Samuel concerning Eli. And he says, "For I, God, have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for their iniquity, which he knew, which Eli knew, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." He restrained them not. Then he goes on to say, "Wherefore, honorest thy sons above me? Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Parents, don't consult the will of your children more than the honor of God. Ponder carefully what God says. Remember that in the home, God has appointed parental rule as the symbol of His own authority. And in this context, parents and children alike are to honor Him, because to dishonor Him is to lose His blessing and faith. So God commands parents to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6. But you know, training is not just telling. It's not just teaching. Training is not just commanding, but it's something higher than these. It is not only telling a child what to do, but it is showing him how to do it and seeing that it is done. For instance, how can you train a child to read the Bible if you yourself don't read? How can you do that? How can you train a child to develop a practice and a habit of doing something when we haven't adopted it in our own lives as a habit and as a practice? And that is, I think, the goal of Christian child training, to adopt godly habits and practices by teaching, by instruction, by discipline, but above all, by example. But all of it, all the facets of training, teaching, commanding, disciplining, it all should be done in an atmosphere of love. The love of Christ in the home. The love of Christ in the home. And at this juncture, I believe the Bible has a word of warning to some Christian fathers, parents, in general, fathers in particular. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, verse 4. And I think it's addressed more to fathers than it is to mothers, because mothers usually have more of a tender love for their children, I think, and are less apt to provoke their children to anger. At least that's been my experience. Nevertheless, this passage and the passage in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21 is here for a reason. God had it written there for a reason. And the reason is this. There is such a thing as too harsh a discipline. There is such a thing as a spirit of legalism, a spirit of law in the Christian home. You see, in dealing with our children, a spirit of love is to prevail, not the spirit of a drill sergeant. Okay? Children do need rules, and they need guidelines in their lives. Children, in fact, crave rules and guidelines in their lives. This shows them that their parents are genuinely interested in them and have a real love and a real concern for them, you see. But too many rules, too many guidelines will provoke children to anger. It will provoke them to rebellion. And as Colossians 3:21 states, it will provoke them to discouragement. It will discourage them. You see, when God trains us, when God trains His own children, that is adults, He trains us with the utmost care and balance. And He trains us in a spirit of love. We do the same with our own children. We are balanced. We are careful. We have rules, but we don't have too many. We have discipline, but only when it's needed. Now, dads, understand this. There is much in some children that is provoking. Okay, I understand that. There is much in some children that is provoking. Okay. But there is also much in some fathers that is easily provoked as well. Beware of provoking your children to anger, either through discipline, through rough playing, or through teasing. Be careful. As far as discipline is concerned, I have seen children driven to rebellion. I have seen them driven to anger, to discouragement in later years, because of a lack of sensitivity to children and also a lack of sensitivity to the Spirit of God in training them. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 and also Colossians 3:21 are there for a purpose. God had them placed there for our warning. However, having said that, we must also point toward the truth that today, I believe that today, the other side of the coin is more prevalent among Christian parents. And even more so among non-Christians. And that is a laxity of spiritual training in general. And discipline in particular. We have men called psychologists who have come along, and in the name of science have usurped the Bible's role in child training. You see, the Bible claims to have authority in a Christian's home and in his life. And in pertaining to life and living, the Bible provides us with all that God would have us to know in these particular areas. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Now you remember the last half of Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. For by these He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. The Bible has a proper understanding of child training. All that children need, all that parents need in training their children can be found there. Now, psychology, by the way, is not a science. I hope I don't upset you. It is simply the observations, sometimes just the common sense observations, of men, most of whom are not Christians. Now, in relation to this, I would like to read you a couple of quotes from the book, The Seduction of Christianity, by Dave Hunt, which we'll be dealing with tonight. And he has this to say concerning psychology. The basic problem with the psychological approach lies in the fact that psychology pretends to offer answers which, even if it were a science, it could never give. We have no quarrel with chemistry, with medicine, with physics, but we have a quarrel with psychology's pretense to scientifically understand and deal with the heart of man, who is a spiritual being made in the image of God. To attempt to deal with human behavior scientifically, quote, denies man's free will and spiritual nature. If consciousness, personality, and human reactions can be scientifically or psychologically explained, then to say, I love you, would be no more meaningful than to say, I have a gastrointestinal pain. Love and joy, he goes on to say, as well as a sense of justice, beauty, and meaning, would all be the product of natural processes governed by scientifically explicable laws and thus meaningless. Psychology, in contrast to biblical counseling, by very definition, can neither explain nor adequately deal with man as God created him. Now, he goes on to quote Dr. J. Adams, who's also a Christian, has written many books on biblical counseling for Christians. And he says, Adams has made his conviction crystal clear. In my opinion, this is the quote from Mr. Adams, advocating, allowing, and practicing psychiatric and psychoanalytical dogmas within the church is every bit as pagan and heretical and therefore perilous as propagating the teachings of some of the most bizarre cults. The only vital difference is that the cults are less dangerous, because their errors are more identifiable. Be careful, parents, of the psychological, scientific way. You see, God has warned us of these things that would creep into His church. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 2:8, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now, I have read and I have heard some outlandish advice and counsel given to parents concerning children by so-called psychologists. Now, much of this advice and counsel violates biblical principles which God has set forth in the Scriptures. Now, one of these is the notion that children don't need or do not profit by spanking. Now, spanking is viewed by these people to be physical violence. I've read such in many editorials in the local paper. It's viewed by these people to be tantamount to physical violence, which is equivalent to child abuse. Now, this view is prevalent because the world doesn't understand the difference between child abuse on one hand and spanking or discipline in love by the Christian parent on the other. Can't tell the difference. Anyone who has ever read the Scriptures in relation to child training understands that to not spank children shows that you, in fact, do not love your children. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 states, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." Now, Christians, or non-Christians for that matter, should never spank a child in anger, for there is a danger of excessive punishment, isn't it? Certainly, slapping a child or hitting a child is a gross violation of God's word. And I think that action also violates Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 and Colossians 3:21 in provoking children to anger as well. Also, never spank a child in the presence of others. This is a violation of Colossians chapter 3 verse 21, and it can lead to embarrassment and discouragement for the child. Now, child abuse is a debasing, evil act which should carry the severest penalty of the law. In fact, you recall Mark chapter 9, where the Lord said, "Whosoever offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." That is the Lord's judgment of child abuse. But don't ever confuse that with discipline carried out in love in the Christian home. The two don't even come close. One of them is done through maliciousness, through ignorance, and through sin. But the other is done in love, restraint, patience, and for God's glory. Moms and dads, be balanced when it comes to discipline. Neither too much or not enough. Either one of these has sad consequences for your children. Now, kids, you wake up. I'm going to talk to you for just a minute. What I have to say for the next few minutes pertains just to you. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6 real quickly. And I hope not to keep you more than 5 minutes after. My kids will get on me if I do. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 20. And we have this passage, particular passage, taped onto our refrigerator door, that so when the girls open the door and close the door, they can read it. And we can too. I don't really know how much they read it. I think hunger prompts them, fleshly hunger prompts them more than spiritual hunger. Okay, verse 20 of chapter 6. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, or when thou walk, it shall lead thee, or guide thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, the New American Standard does a beautiful job of translating this passage. Let me read it to you. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Notice commandment, father, teaching, mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. But notice the New American Standard says, the commandment of your father and the teaching, not the law, as in the King James, but the teaching of your mother. Now, in this particular passage, you see, I think, somewhat the different roles that parents play in the home. Now, kids, it's the commandment of your father, isn't it? The commandment of your father. It's the voice of authority, isn't it? Well, I think you guys can relate to that. I know my girls can. Dad speaks and you listen. Dad speaks and you listen. Well, that's what the Bible presents in the home. And there the man is the spiritual head of the family. Now, in the New Testament, this is discussed in length in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and also in chapter 14 and also in Ephesians 5 as well. And there in Ephesians 5, the man in relation to his family is pictured as Christ and his relation to the church. Okay? Man, his family, Christ, and the church. You see? That's how God does it. And Christ is the head of the church. And in the Christian home, the husband represents Christ. He is the symbol of Christ in the home. And of course, Christ is the authority to which the church looks, isn't it? The Christian home is a small representation of a big truth. Dad has authority in the home just as Christ has authority in the church. Of course, you kids know that Dad has obligations to your mom as well, doesn't he? He is to love her. He is to cherish his wife, your mother, and he is to protect her. But in any case, the Bible says, observe the commandment of your father. And it also says, don't forsake the teaching of your mother. You see, mom has a lot to do with training her children. With teaching, you see. You know how to conduct yourselves. You will find that when mom teaches you, you'll know how to deal with your friends. You'll know how to deal with your brothers, with your sisters, because mom is making it her business to teach you how to conduct yourself. And your mother has a special love for her own, which makes her especially qualified to do that. But kids, how do you respond to your parents' commands and teaching? How do you respond to your parents' commands and teaching? All right, when Dad tells you to do something and Mom shows you how to do something, do you do it? Do you do it? Do you do it? Do you make a habit of doing it? Do you practice it every day? Well, look what God says that you should do, kids. Notice verse 20. He says, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your neck and tie them about your neck. I misread that. It's very important. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them around thine neck. Okay. Kids, you are to bind the things that your parents tell you to your heart. In other words, you should take the things that your parents tell you, you should take them to heart, and you should place them in your heart and not forget them. Now, do you remember Psalm 119 and verse 11? There David said, "Thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Now, when we memorize the scriptures and as we go about our daily routine, we will remember that particular scripture if we've memorized it, and it will help us to obey what we memorize from the Bible. And it's the same thing with our parents, kids. If we will take to heart what they tell us, if we bind those things that they tell us on our heart and tie them around our neck, they will help us as we live our lives. And that will please God greatly. It says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord." Colossians 3:20. But you know what? There are other benefits to obeying your parents too. Notice verse 22. It says, "When thou goest," or "when thou walk, it shall guide thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." Now, three things will happen when you obey your parents. The things that you have been taught by mom and dad, they will, number one, they will guide you. The King James says they'll lead you. But they will help you make the right decisions in your life. It's very important. Yeah. Number two, it says the things that the parents tell you, instruct you, train you. It says that number two, they will watch over you. King James says keep you. In other words, when you listen to your mom and dad and practice their commandments and teaching, as you practice, as you do them in your daily life, they will actually guard over you and keep you from harm. Physical harm and emotional harm. Now, ask most any pregnant teenage girl if she should have followed her parents' advice. Ask most any teenage boy who fathered such a child whether he should have listened to mom and dad. What the Bible says, it says, they will watch over you. The things that your parents tell you, instruct you in the Lord, they will watch over you. That's number two. Number three, they will talk with you. Now, that's just what we mentioned earlier. When you take to heart your parents' instructions to you, you will remember those things and you will practice those things as you go about your daily routine. Remember Psalm 119 verse 11? "Thy word, O God, have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee." But lastly, kids, and this will end it up for you, in verse 23, we discover that your parents' commands and your parents' rules and advice that they give you is like a lamp. It's like a light. Now, we live in a dark world, kids. We live in a dark world. There are a lot of things that can entice you as a young person. There's drugs, there's alcohol, there's sex before marriage. There are so many things that make this world that we live in dark. But kids, your parents, especially Christian parents, can help light your way so that you don't trip and fall. This is what the Bible says. Kids, listen to your mom and dad. Bind what they say to you around your heart. Tie those things that they say to you around your neck. Because what your parents tell you and what they show you are the way of life, Solomon said, the way of life. They will help you live a life that pleases God. Now, moms and dads, do you see the tremendous responsibility that God has given to you and me? Now, understand this well. God does not hold the Sunday school teacher responsible. He does not hold the Awana leader responsible. He does not hold the young people's leader responsible. He does not even hold the elders responsible for the training of your children. He holds you and me responsible. Parents, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, He will ask me and you about the spiritual training of our children. What will you say? What will you say? Well, you see, the task is primarily ours. What will we do with the children that's been committed to our care? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word and what it teaches us about the Christian home, how to raise our children for thy glory. Heavenly Father, we understand well that there are many grandmothers and many grandfathers here this morning who are wondering what kind of impact they can have on their adult children, on their grandchildren. Lord, we would not forget what the Apostle Paul told Timothy concerning his grandmother Lois, who had such an impact on him for Christ. We would pray for these Christians that they would take seriously the covenant between them and you and your children. We pray, Lord, that we would seek out thy wisdom and discernment in raising our children, that we would raise them to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would respond to our training, Lord, that they would not reject it, but that they would receive it and produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for our children this morning. We thank thee for these parents who, by the fact that they're here, show a concern and love for their children. Father, we thank you for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and for anyone here who might not know him personally. We pray that you would work in that person's heart and draw them unto thyself. In Jesus Christ's lovely name we pray, amen.